rig up yourself as like a marionette and then give yourself like a Dutch rudder with a bit of rope.
Exactly, yeah.
I'm in a real identity crisis here, Al.
Nothing penetrates with Dawson.
Who do you see in the mirror?
Hey!
Oh, Grey, hot.
Hello and welcome to the Incomplete series, your incomplete guide to every television show you've never watched. This is the series where we watch the first episode of a TV show and the second episode?
Last episode.
Of the first season?
No, of the final season. The very last season.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then what do we fill in the blanks?
More or less,
that
yeah.
That sounds about right. Mm. Anyway, I'm Morgan. To my left, I've got Jeremy. Jeremy, how are you going?
I'm excellent. Thank you, Morgan. I like your intro. I think it's the best one yet.
Yeah, you think so?
Yeah.
I've sort of turned over a new leaf. I've been running with this Jeremy impression for the last few weeks. I think I'm getting really good at it.
Mm. Really embodying the spirit
of
Jerome.
Yeah, yeah. Scott, how are you?
I was wondering if we were going to keep going with this. So I was like, how am I going to do an Aaron impression?
It's
going
to be very confusing in an audio medium, calling us by the wrong names.
Morgan's taken a week off.
Yeah.
Overseas. So we're filling in. We've got a Morgan soundboard. It's quite intuitive. It sounds real.
Very diverse.
Sounds like he's here.
John Travolta. That's all the soundboard has.
That's all it is. That's all it is.
John Travolta. Morgs, how are you?
I'm good, thank you, Jeremy. This is nice. This is different.
Yeah, you got to relax a little bit.
I do have a few little things I want to say. Just for your intro.
Okay, some pointers.
You kind of went off topic a little bit and was sort of fumbling around.
I called us a series as well.
Yeah, which was interesting.
Instead of a podcast.
I mean,
it is a series of podcasts.
It is. I just think maybe do it properly next time.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you're right.
Ouch.
This is nice. I get to nitpick your introduction.
Did you slightly deepen your voice to do the intro also?
I tried to sort of morganize my voice. John Travolta.
Hit the
button.
No, I'm not.
No, it's only
when you do it.
It came out.
I can't believe that I got a horn.
Yeah, well, because you're the king of the shoe horn.
Well, you know. Yeah.
That's why you've been relegated.
The shoe fits,
this week,
Morgan.
It's matched to your vocal print.
Excellent. Should I do it again then?
So we did.
don't shoehorn the shoehorn, all right?
I will shoehorn. Lay off.
Dinosaurs this week.
Oh, okay.
Yes, we did.
We did dinosaurs.
You guys, Muppets men?
I'm a Muppet man.
I am a big Muppet man.
I love the Muppets.
My girlfriend knows this. Only people close to me sort of do. So now I'm going to broadcast.
It's a weird sex thing.
Yeah, it is. We both dress up as Ernie and Bert. And
both as Ernie.
Both as both.
Okay. Rig up yourself as like a marionette and then like a Dutch rudder with a bit of rope.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, we've let you in on some of these sessions to take notes because you want to incorporate it into your lovemaking as well.
Got to learn from the best.
Some of the Muppets really creep me out. Some of them I don't mind, the smaller ones. But there's one.
The smaller ones.
The smaller, more human ones that talk. But there's this really big
bird.
No, the massive big one.
Fuzzy bear?
No,
I know the one he's referring to.
Snuffleupagus?
I don't know what it's called, but it's creepy. It's too creepy.
I know.
Mr. Gordon?
Have you seen the one where they go to Hollywood, or they're trying to go to Hollywood?
Yeah.
Jason Segel.
No. It's an older one. It's from like the mid-90s.
Yeah.
And then he's in that. He's like, I want to go to Hollywood with you. And he's chasing after him. And he's a
real
massive
big
monster. It's like, it's terrifying.
Yeah. It's got to be like 8.5 feet tall.
Oh, yeah.
One of my all-time favorite scenes in cinema is the opening to one of the Muppets movies. It might just be the Muppets movie with Kermit riding the bike down the street.
Yes.
There is something just, I don't know, so
it's
endearing and wholesome
and
about
like,
that.
Just satisfying as well. Like, watching his legs go.
Yeah.
Sweetums.
I love Kermit.
Sweetums. I like the Eagle Man. What's
his name? Sam the Eagle.
Sam, yeah.
Yeah, he's great.
And you got to love Swedish Chef.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's Nightmare Fuel.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that guy.
We'll put a photo up online. Yeah. But, dear God, that should not be allowed around children.
Such a big face.
So I assume with all that in place, you must have not enjoyed dinosaurs that much. You must have terrified you.
Some of them, again, some of them I don't like so much.
Yeah.
Some of them I can tolerate.
Okay. I'm going to just dive straight in here and say that first episode of Dinosaurs is, without question, the worst television program I've ever seen in my life. I wanted to scratch my eyes out watching that. I was so...
I have a distinct feeling that this episode of the show is going to be Aaron and I versus...
Oh, you're in
very, very divisive.
Okay.
This is
you're in pro-dinosaurs camp.
I fucking loved the show.
Oh, you did? This show is...
I legitimately did. I'm not even lying for the sense, for just like, you know...
It was so wooden and
to
like...
To rile you up.
The acting was
I won't go that far, but I think there's some merit to it.
The acting was so terrible and wooden in the first episode.
Mm. I will give you the fact, first episode, especially the first 10 minutes, which we'll get into, was really tense.
Mm. Yep.
There was something missing and it was very uncomfortable.
Yeah, like he was about to like... commit some sort of active domestic violence.
Yeah, that was
like he genuinely hated his family.
Strong DV vibes.
Mm. Is that what we're calling it?
What are all of our
domestic violence? Do we
know anything? Did anybody here know anything about dinosaurs?
So I've always just I don't know where it, why it's etched into my brain, but the quote "Honey, I'm home and I'm stuck in the door again" is just been in my mind for my whole life, basically. Probably from when I was about 4 or 5.
And then every time you get home?
That's the only thing I know about dinosaurs. Yeah, I think about it every time I walk through a door.
Every time you get stuck in a doorway.
Every time I walk through a door.
Stuck in the door.
Honey, I'm home and I'm stuck in the door again.
Yeah. Make a bigger door. It doesn't make any sense. Well, it's your house.
He's just clearly getting wider and wider.
Build it for dinosaurs.
Yeah. Same thing. I remember the... I don't know... This show must have... I can't remember what channel it would have been on down here. I'm assuming Channel 10. It feels like something they would pick up. Right. But I can remember seeing bits and pieces of this. And it's just a show that's so iconic because there's not many family dramas or family sitcoms that would be, yes, okay, we're just going to get a whole lot of dinosaurs to play the people instead.
Yeah, so in case you haven't seen...
Well, they got people in suits for
In case you haven't seen
they weren't real dinosaurs.
I don't want to shatter the illusion. But
no.
It is, yeah, dinosaur-type Muppets.
Yeah.
Ass... sort of traditional family sitcom. Yeah.
Traditional, as in very traditional 1950s.
Yes. Yeah.
Which
browbeat your wife constantly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Which leads me to, I don't understand who they were making this for, what market this was made for.
Well, see, I thought it was a kids show going in, but then
no,
it's not really. There's a lot of jokes that just kids will go straight over their heads and they wouldn't find entertaining.
Mm.
So, yeah, I don't know. I think it's...
A family show? Like six,
I don't know.
Six,
I think
six,
it's that, like, playing on the maybe traditional sort of format. Just like sort of an alternative comedy. I could see it being on like Adult Swim or something.
Yeah.
But it wasn't satirical or anything?
No. I don't think it was satirical.
A little bit.
There's definitely some commentary and stuff wouldn't really have a place in a regular sitcom.
More so in the first episode, it wasn't very satirical.
I know. Mm. I still think there's some... things in there. We'll get into it with the specifics, but I still think there's some stuff in there.
Yeah, when he goes out into the wilderness.
I just think that first episode is so disjointed and so slow. The dialogue's bad. The story's bad.
They can't properly interact is the issue. Because they're all sort of like... There's a huge...
As in the actors can't interact.
Yeah, there's
properly.
Like a physical... huge physical distance between each of the actors. It doesn't ever feel like they're... It's very weird.
Yeah.
Mm. Anyway.
Yeah, let's jump into episode one and we'll...
hash it out.
The year is 60 million and 3 BC, and we meet a domestic family of dinosaurs. There's Earl Sinclair, the just past his prime patriarch, his far too tolerant wife, Fran, and their kids, Robbie and Charlene. Earl is at the beginning of a midlife crisis, worried his family is spending all of his money, so is goaded into asking for a raise from his Triceratops boss at the We Say So Corporation, only to be fired in a humiliating fashion.
So you got no alternative but to look me in the eye and say,
I'm sorry.
I quit!
And the icing on the cake? Fran has just laid an egg, locking Earl down for another 18 years as a father.
Did you and Daddy really want to have another baby, Ma?
Charlene, we feel the same way about this little egg as we felt about Robbie and you.
How in the hell could this have happened?
Feeling trapped, Earl decides to go back to his roots and live in the wilderness. However, he comes across a rodent who escaped their house the night before, who they were intending to eat, and after chatting, Earl discovers his life isn't so bad, and in conjunction with Fran luring him back with some food, he moves back home. The rodent ends up getting a position at Earl's workplace and gets Earl his job back.
Get back to work, Sinclair.
Yes, sir, Mr. Rizek. Yes, sir.
The episode ends with the hatching of their new child, aptly named Baby Sinclair, who luckily for the show is born with an excellent grasp of the English language.
Who's the mama? Where's the mama?
Come here, you sweet thing.
Is the baby meant to be funny? Because it is not.
I think so. That is one thing I'm on board with. That baby is a goddamn nightmare.
Story.
No story.
Story.
No story.
Story.
So the baby's voiced by the dude who did Elmo.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay. And he's just like Elmo dialed up to 11 fucking million.
I had to go stand outside by myself for like 20 minutes after I watched it. I was like, what is this? What is going on?
I feel like the name baby, you know, it's not going to be age appropriate for very long.
No. No.
But he is going to stay as a baby for the entire run of the show.
Hi, I'm the baby. Brand new, just out. Gotta love me. Come on. Gotta love me.
Some real strong Elmo vibes in that one.
Oh, man. It's just, it's Fran Drescher type stuff that I, yeah.
I'm going to bite you now.
Like, oh, God.
I found that. I thought it was a funny little non sequitur.
No, the only funny part.
I found
part
this show very endearing.
I did not. I found it very irritating. I think the only funny part
Who's paying you, Scott? Why?
Nobody's paying me.
Big dinosaur.
The very first joke they had.
A meteor, 3 times the size of Earth, is heading towards us in a collision course that will result in the extinction of all life on this planet. This just in? No, it's not.
Oh, good.
I had a laugh there. I'm like, oh, this could be okay.
I've literally got written down here, great opening joke, best opening joke of a show ever.
Whoa.
Wow, that is. I
thought it was very funny.
I will give you that it was funny. But after that, it was a disaster. Like, the train fell off the tracks very quickly after that.
They hit a lot of, they definitely hit a lot of tropes and stereotypes with the, like, you know, patriarch of the family, you know, not being appreciative.
Yeah, so he was saying shit like, when she started talking about her day, he was saying stuff like, nothing you say about your day will impact my life.
Yeah.
I just want my 90-inch TV while you cook my dinner.
Yeah.
How much of that, do you reckon, was like meant to be satirical and self-aware?
Hopefully all of it.
See, I don't think it was necessarily...
Yeah, it was, but it was like, I don't know.
I didn't
didn't really lean into it that much.
I didn't see it. I wasn't watching this necessarily as like a straight, just like straight up comedy. I guess, like, I don't know, like, it's not incredibly intelligent humor, but like, I don't know, I think it's like far enough removed with the fact that they're like dinosaurs and you're like sort of trying to figure out how all the like relationships work, that
it's saying
it's far enough away that I'm kind of like, oh, okay, like it could be a comment, like it is a commentary,
and
it's just a matter of whether it's entertaining or funny.
Because they're dinosaurs, it's sort of, the whole thing's a little bit tongue-in-cheek, like, oh, throwback to old times. Dinosaurs with their, you know,
antiquated ways.
The
father is essentially just modeled on John Goodman, though.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
That flannelette shirt.
Yeah.
It's a weird thing. If you said, make me a dinosaur that embodies John Goodman, you'd be like, I don't know how to do that. But when you look at him, you see him.
Nail the brief.
Yeah. Just a generous size and a big old flanny. Boom. Done. Yeah.
I love John Goodman.
I'm a big John Goodman fan.
You're a big Earl Sinclair fan, though.
I am not a big Earl Sinclair fan.
Weird that Sinclair's a dinosaur last name. I thought they would maybe have more dinosaur-y last names.
Like a sort of pun on...
Yeah, something like that.
I don't know. I'm happy they didn't. I think we would have been like...
Sinclair,
ugh.
Though.
This is partly why...
I think we'd be savaging it for that if they had done that.
Maybe.
No,
maybe.
I think that would work better.
Poking holes, Jez.
I think I would have just looked for ways to savage it regardless. Yeah. It was quite average.
Yeah, because my issue with it is that I don't see where it fits in. Because it's, like you said, is it a kid show?
Yeah.
Is it, who is the target demographic? Because like you said, it's essentially just like it's essentially Roseanne, except they've just replaced the actors with, well, there are actors in it, obviously, but they're just in suits. There's no way to, because their faces are really wooden, and that doesn't help the disjointed dialogue, the bad storyline, because... the actors are restricted by the fact that they're in these insane suits.
Yeah.
Granted, they look cool, but...
That's what makes it so wooden.
Makes it worse.
And also, they've clearly... they've dubbed the audio. They must have.
Yeah, they have.
So, that disconnect between the person who's actually acting as the dinosaur and the person doing the voice are separate.
Yeah.
It's really hard to mirror the, like, voice, the dialogue up with the
performance. Yeah.
The performance, yeah.
Mm.
And I think that sort of, it's like as soon as you notice that, you can't unnotice it.
No.
It puts you into this like performance style uncanny valley where it's kind of like, oh, there's something not right about this, but I'm just not quite sure what it is.
Exactly. Yep. And I found that really hard to get past.
Mm. But just like the story though, if we're just like looking at that beyond the actual, like how they executed that element of the show. Like I thought it touched on some interesting things, like, you know, like the going back to nature and like, you know, there's obviously a huge thing about like masculinity in there as well. Yeah. And I don't think it was addressed as
sage-like advice from his dinner.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, you know, the most important thing to me is my family. Yeah. And
what
like
was that thing?
Some sort of rodent. But then, like, the animal, and they had heaps of them in the fridge. Like, they're just...
It appears all the animals have the same level of intelligence. The dinosaurs are just eating them.
But even bizarre.
It's bizarre. Because
that feels like a commentary in and of itself. Like, I don't know. Like, leveling the playing field
on eating meat.
Yeah, I think you're getting too much credit.
I can tell that I want to give it the credit.
I was annoyed that everything else in their universe was... like mirrored human society, except for the food. That was the only thing that was like weird,
which I thought was odd.
How do you mean?
Well, like in wore clothes and they lived in a house and they had TV, all this sort of stuff.
But they still like caught live prey. And...
Exactly.
Yeah. Mm. I mean,
they're not even live prey. Like they go to a shop and buy these rodents. That's their only source of food because they get a frozen dinner out. It's just like one of them in an ice block.
Yeah.
But then they later, I think it's in the final episode, they're talking about. There's like frozen toast. Like there seems like there are foods there that are just like regular human foods as well.
So maybe they pivoted.
Yeah.
So they might have
just didn't make the distinction.
I mean, I don't want to, I shouldn't be flagging my own shoehorns, but I reckon I should give it buzzed for saying pivoted. That's my John Travolta.
Just one of these?
I deserve that.
They really cut to your soul, Jez.
Yeah.
Every time I get one, a little piece of me dies.
It just was annoying that was the one thing that they decided to.
Yeah, it was an odd choice. It was.
I reckon
keep
it's fine.
As a dinosaur. I think you'd trait.
Be, like it.
Stop giving it credit.
Yeah. Well, you need to be able to have some elements of the dinosaur world to.
Yeah, because or else it's like why even
doing it? Well, and I think you want to.
Well,
like,
that is
trying
the
to
question.
Split that. Let's question about anything. Why are we doing this?
So you think having the food as little like rodents justifies having the show where they're all dinosaurs, but everything else is...
I think they need to do a bit of both because I think they are trying to sort of split the market between like you probably a younger audience where they're just like, oh, it's a weird show about dinosaurs that are like people, but they're still like dinosaurs. And then the other side that's more
social commentary.
Yeah. Because I think they're sort of like, this is sort of hot on the heels of The Simpsons. So I think that's the kind of line that they're going for where you can hit kind of...
Did not execute it as well as The Simpsons.
No,
not quite.
Safe to say.
No.
I just think with this, again, going back to that market, it's just, I mean, if you have something like this, it's something little kids would be into, but they'd watch it and you wouldn't be, I just don't think you'd hold their attention because it's...
I think like teenagers would be into it.
I can't imagine.
Yeah, young teens.
I don't think I would have.
Well, you don't know what teens want, Morgan.
Apparently not.
You in touch with the youth?
No, it's the children who are wrong. I'm fine.
Morgan was a teenager once.
Exactly. Not for a long time.
One wee bit was, I was surprised that there were humans in this world.
Oh, yeah.
That was odd.
Yeah. The cavemen.
And so, like right at the end of the episode, there's like, they look out the window. I can't remember what they say, but it was something about evolution or something. And there's a caveman, like, it looks like they've discovered the wheel.
Mm.
And he just like smashes out the middle and turns it into a hula hoop.
Yeah. Idiot. Didn't know what he had.
Yeah.
But that
thing would have been worth millions.
Yeah, that is the universe that we're in, is where there's humans overlapping with dinosaurs.
I'm trying to think, is there like a similar, have they used that in any other, like BoJack Horseman, obviously they integrate animals and humans together.
Yeah.
Where humans are the, I feel like that's
less
been done
dominant
before.
Species.
Yeah. Can't remember where though.
But I really, really dislike this opening episode.
Did you guys feel like it should have had canned laughter?
I think so. That would have probably helped with the...
I think in the kitchen, living room scenes.
By virtue of the fact that they're like big... They're people in big cumbersome suits and they've got to like... Takes them like 3 seconds to turn around to face someone. Like,
you could have
put laughter in to sort of fill the gaps.
And particularly that the opening 5 minutes is like... It's almost like they're leaving space for...
Yeah.
Laughter, which like if you're not going to have canned laughter, you don't need to leave that space.
Maybe
you
they were just planning keep it going.
Maybe, yeah, they could have taken it out. That would be an interesting move.
Yeah,
I don't think that's ever happened ever.
No,
Hollywood usually doesn't gravitate towards taking it out. They usually try and jam it in.
They should.
Yeah.
I will say though. I mean, the production of it though, it's actually pretty solid.
Well executed.
Yeah, because the dinosaurs look awesome and the sets are pretty well done. It's just the actual, like, it's just they did a great job there, but they just haven't, it's the other layer of the show which is so poor.
Yeah.
They opened with a tribute to Jim Henson. When did Jim Henson
came out? I think a year or two. So this was his sort of last project.
He's had such a weird influence on so many things.
Yeah,
yeah.
He just created this whole concept of weird puppets that are talk like people and have somehow carved out a niche in made all these movies
like
and TV
Labyrinth
shows.
Like David Bowie like it's a it's so, a really weird subculture. I went I was in the States 6 years ago, and I went to it was I think it was some sort of like film archive museum in San Francisco, and they had a Jim Henson exhibit going on at that time, and it was fucking amazing. Seeing some of those puppets like up close, like they're so like detailed and just well made, and like just massive as well. Like they're, they're absolutely huge.
Did they have the giant Muppet?
I probably blocked it out if I saw it. They put had a guy in it, just waiting for people to walk up.
Please no.
It's no aggro though.
No aggro.
We nailed it in Australia.
Yeah, we did.
We got it.
Yeah,
perfect. Dickie knee aggro.
Aussie ostrich.
All the classics. Dickie Humphrey B. Bear.
Dickie knee was like, wasn't just. It was like a cap.
It was a baseball cap and a wig on the end of a stick.
Dickie knee. Hey Daryl, whose fucking idea was that?
The 90s, man. Coked out of their eyeballs.
Problem, we're all on opioids now. No one's coming up with any good content like Dickie Knee.
There was like a little bit of a precursor to like we'll get into how like dark the last episode got, but I thought there was like some pretty like dark moments in this one as well, because there's a point where Earl's talking to his this like workmate where he like what they do for a job is they push down trees something to clear forest ways
like that
buildings
really
and stuff. It's like it's like a little bit of a dinosaur spin on a job that would that does exist. Yeah, so, I know, but, like forestation.
Why? What? Everything else?
Lumber.
Yeah, I don't know, it just doesn't. So
they build their houses.
It just annoys me that they went. Some things they decided not to change. Like if dinosaurs
not change
were
some things.
Yeah,
like or else there's no parallels. Like why would humans watch it? Be a show for dinosaurs.
Either you just want a show that's entirely dinosaurs or entirely humans.
Keep them separate. That's your Venn diagram.
It annoys me that they went like 80% there.
Anyway, and he's saying like how his workmate's saying how he should ask for a raise because like you've given this company the best years of your life. And Earl says,
"Well, maybe not the best years, but certainly the least miserable years of a generally crummy time I'm having."
It was like so dark. Yeah. Like just to bring up, especially, no laugh track. That plays just like, this guy's miserable. Not having it. Which like makes the whole thing of him like going out like back to nature and feeling like locked down by his family and stuff. And they do present the family thing as like in this like dinosaur universe, it's not like the normal thing to do. The normal thing isn't to have a family.
You used to eat your young, apparently.
Yeah. So he's like paving the way, which it's an interesting. I don't know. I think it's an interesting dynamic.
Mm. Yeah,
Morgan disagrees.
I can tell.
I don't know. You're
very salty.
I really hated episode one.
Like, do you want to move on to the finale then?
Well, I will say it drastically improved.
Yeah.
You reckon?
I think so. They probably worked out the kinks of how to... I'm sure it would have got better over the years. The pilot's never a good indication of what a show's going to be like. And like it would have taken time to get used to having someone act and then you do the voice and syncing that up in a way that feels natural.
Well... let's move on to the final episode.
The dinosaurs finale begins with everyone gathering around to watch the seasonal migration of the bunch beetles. But it doesn't happen this year because the omnipresent We Say So Corp built their waxed fruit plant over the beetles' mating ground. And without the beetles, another plant called the cider poppies runs rampant and covers everything in sight. Luckily, an independent task force headed by Earl Sinclair has a solution. Spray the planet with defoliant.
Isn't the word defoliant just another name for poison?
But, shockingly, that backfires, and all plant life on Earth dies. Luckily, We Say So Corp has a great idea. They plan to set off a bunch of volcanoes to make some rain clouds to get all the plants to grow back.
They spew off big puffy clouds whenever they erupt!
Unfortunately, though, that ushers in an ice age. The planet is freezing over, and there's nothing they can do.
Daddy was put in charge of the world. And he didn't take real good care of it. And now it looks like there won't be much of a world left for you or your brother and sister to live in.
And Dinosaurs ends with a grim message from a friendly newscaster.
And taking a look at the long-range forecast, continued snow, darkness, and extreme cold. This is Howard Handupme. Good night. Goodbye.
bleak.
Yeah.
So bleak.
Yeah, I really like how you put the dramatic piano. I'm getting chills.
And it reads like some sort of... I feel like it should have been like an action film from around 2012 starring The Rock. Like something happens to, you know, potentially destroy the world and you've got to find a fix. I'm like, you know, surely in a movie form of this, unlike Earl Sinclair, someone would have actually made a correct decision at some point. And how has he been, this guy who pushes trees over for a living, how has he been handed the like the keys to the world?
Because he's a scapegoat.
And why is the foreman in charge of...
Because he's a captain of industry.
He's a captain of industry.
How the heck should I know? I'm a captain of industry, not a gardener.
And they sort of like the way that they frame it is that... at the start, like he's got this fancy new barbecue and it's Earl's all pro progress and technology and stuff. Mm. So he's like, oh, we don't need the bunch beetles to eat the cider poppies. We've got like a technological fix for everything.
Yeah.
No, it's just a bunch of bugs. What possible difference could it make?
I think like you said then, if it was a movie made now, it'd be The Rock coming to save everyone.
Mm.
But I think this was a really good finish because it wasn't like... We're gonna work together and we'll find a solution.
Mm.
It's like no, we've
that's not the
far.
Message.
We've fucked up.
Yeah,
we can't fix
this.
This
is how we've become.
This is done.
I must admit, I did enjoy this one a lot more, but because all the characters died and I hated them. nah, just kidding. It was like it's kind of classic Jim Henson who had like a real dark side.
Yeah.
To just kill this whole show. This is never coming back. I imagine the ratings in this show must have fallen. Plummeted pretty poorly towards the end, and that's why I think they went, "Yep, cool, done."
Or they just—it was always going to have,
a bleak. Well, it's always going to. They have to reach extinction.
Everyone knows the end.
This is where we're going.
We know the dinosaurs.
That's a great ending.
It's like
so much better than like
the comet comes and
I think a lot of like the shows that we've done that have seen out their endings, there haven't been many particularly good ones.
Mm.
It's normally like a fairy tale, happily ever after
very
sort of thing, or
creative
just
phenomenon
meanders off. But I think this is actually a really strong ending.
Yeah, and it's a great way to hit that end point. In an interesting, unexpected way. And like, and also just like, yeah, make it, it's like, it's a huge commentary on environmentalism.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We mishandle the world.
The power that we have and, that...
And the message at the end that where he's, you know, telling his kids that this, our generation, fucked the world up for your generation.
Yeah. Mm. And the baby says, where are we going to move?
Yeah.
And there's nowhere to, there's nowhere to move.
Yeah. Mm. It's just a great allegory for like industrialization. And,
This is early 90s, wasn't it?
Yeah, 94. So it's definitely ahead of its time and that sort of thing.
Pre-Al Gore.
Mm. Earl Sinclair, the original Al Gore.
The original
Al Gore. Saying?
That's what I'm saying.
Sinclair 94. The campaign ticket.
I just really don't want to give this show any
credit.
I
vote for him.
Earl Sinclair. You'll vote for a dinosaur.
I will. Yeah.
One weird sort of... side plot of the episode was the one bunch beetle that they encounter just furiously hitting on the daughter.
Yeah, that's so weird.
The Sharboing! Hello, beautiful!
Hey, that's my daughter!
I'm just saying.
Very bizarre. I don't even think he sort of thought through the mechanics of how... if he
what's,
did...
What are you doing?
If he was, you know...
Does this happen
to second or third
in,
base? How
am
does it work?
Am I imagining it, or does this happen in shows where there are like multiple species communicating with each other? Like for example, we were saying, BoJack Horseman. Like, there's no barrier between
who can fornicate with who.
Yeah, it's just like
why not a bug? In a...
Yeah,
yeah. But I feel like dinosaurs. There definitely is a distinction between species.
There should be.
Yeah.
Also, they've speaking of that, how have the so the wife is like a I don't know, some sort of thing with a horn on the back of its head.
Yeah.
And he is just like a fat T-Rex.
He's a megalosaurus, the king of the dinosaurs.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
The Tyrannosaurus Rex is king of the dinosaurs.
That's debatable.
No, it's not. I dated one in high school.
You don't know about him being king of the dinosaurs?
But then when they produce like a Triceratops and then some other completely different dinosaur that's got like a mohawk type gig.
Yeah. I don't know. A dinosaur is just all like one species and it's just like lucky dip as
well.
Comes
like,
out.
Surely
it could be like tiny little raptor or it could be a Brachiosaurus. Who knows?
like a Kinder Surprise.
Just never know. Well, they're laying eggs.
And then,
we don't know where they come from.
The baby's just like a little pink blob.
Yeah, who knows how that... That one kind of looks like it's going to turn out like Earl.
Yeah. But they've added an extra core cast member in Grandma.
Grandma Ethel.
Yeah.
Mm.
Great. Adds nothing. You can't say the train wreck.
Leave Ethel alone.
Yeah, I will not leave Ethel alone.
Ethel is a saint. Like
maybe you should have sat this one out more. You really... you
bring nothing. Yeah, nothing to the table.
Show is shit.
I love that Earl is supposedly on this world-saving task force and their big plan is to spray this defoliant in the air. And he wakes up and he's like, oh, let's see how the plan went. Like, shouldn't you have been overseeing this whole operation?
No.
He's like, no, all right, guys, you got this. I'm going to go home.
Flicks the switch, falls asleep.
Yeah.
He's just a figurehead.
Yeah, and he wakes up, opens the curtain. He's like, oh, let's see how well this worked.
Killed everything.
So what do you reckon the world would be like if humans laid eggs?
Do you just put it on the table?
Yeah, like what do you do if like an egg's...
Like an ornament?
So it's 6 months of internal gestation, then you lay an egg, and then you just got to wait 3 months.
But that's the thing. Like how did... when she lays the egg, it's like a surprise. Okay. Where were you hiding that?
Yeah, I don't know.
Thing's huge.
Does she just not... Like in relation to like her, it's not that large or something maybe? So like...
Yeah.
It's like, oh, well, here's an egg.
Yeah. Do you reckon we'd eat human eggs?
Probably not.
Probably not. I don't think they seem to eat their eggs, did they?
Maybe.
I don't know. Do reptiles do that sort of thing?
I don't think so.
I'm no reptile scientist.
I wouldn't care to speculate myself. But I will. So, yes, they do.
They do.
Good.
Yeah.
Everyone knows that.
Oh, man. Yeah, I think it would drastically change things if you just busted out an egg.
Yeah.
Right now. You could bust out an egg right now.
I could if I wanted to. I won't because I'm a professional.
Yeah.
But you could.
Do it for
a podcast.
Off air. Off mic.
If you don't change your tone, Morgs, I'm busting out an egg right here.
You're going to have to take care of it.
It looks like you're busting out an egg because I'm not changing my tone. I did read about this series. It had very little merchandise made for it. Like, it's apparently very rare to find any dinosaur relics in terms of...
Because that clip of baby seems like it would come out of a doll that you squeeze.
Brand new, just out. Gotta love me. Come on. Gotta love me.
That was made into a doll, and that was that. And then there was like a series of McDonald's toys, and that was pretty much it.
I think I remember the McDonald's toys.
Yeah, I had this vague memory of it as well.
Yeah.
But then, yeah, McDonald's,
they do everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, apparently very little merchandise made for this. And
does that mean that it's worth a lot of money?
So that
it's quite rare.
Full Earl Sinclair suit that you have is
It's
that's a gold mine.
I'm going to retire with that bad boy. Yeah, exactly. I'd probably rather burn it than sell it.
Can you wear out of spite? Wear it for the next podcast?
No, it's a sex thing. I like to. Oh, okay. It's like a fairy.
All right, we'll keep it separate. Exactly. Don't want to muddy the waters.
It's scaly.
Scaly, yeah, that's what they call us.
Like furries, but their fetish is reptiles.
Yeah. It's really underrated. Sub-community.
Underrated.
Yeah.
Doesn't get the recognition it deserves.
No, it doesn't.
This is your platform.
Furries get all the attention.
Yeah, it's bullshit.
So one interesting note when we were looking for the final episode, the one that is the series finale, Changing Nature, that we watched, wasn't actually meant to be the series finale. So the last season got cut short, so they had to bring that forward.
I was going to say pretty hard to...
I was going to say, what was going to be the episode after that?
Yeah, so it was sort of like, because they brought that forward, this was now episode 7, but they still released the other episodes afterwards.
Okay.
Up to episode 14 or something.
That clearly has to be viewed last, but
they
just moved it forward.
Yeah.
Because it dropped off the air.
Which I found out after I watched episode 14 of season 4.
Yeah.
What happens in that?
So it's kind of like a Barney the Dinosaur sort of thing, where the baby's a huge fan of this talking hippo called Georgie.
I want to see Georgie!
So that was that. That was that for about 15 minutes. My ears were bleeding. It was horrendous.
I was wondering what that noise was at the start.
So if you thought you hated the baby before, Morgan, you should check that one out. But there was also a cracking scene of Earl's friend Ray doing a nice performance.
Oh, she's a brick house.
So Earl punched out Georgie the hippo, and Ray had to fill in and... sound brick house on TV.
why did he punch out the hippo?
Oh, because he was evil and he was like, I plan to take over the world by like brainwashing children.
Oh, really?
And there was so Earl got arrested and he got busted out of prison by a French dinosaur voiced by Tim Curry.
What? What?
Really?
What is happening?
That is a sentence I never thought I would hear in my whole life.
Me too.
So you guys missed out.
I don't think I I really wish that you didn't make us listen to that stupid goddamn clip of that baby screaming.
Yeah, that was too much. I apologize for that. But
when you said it was burned into your brain, I can see that now. And now it's burned into my brain.
Good.
We can bond over it. Yeah, it's like war.
We suffer together, yeah.
A brick.
House.
I'd watch that.
I'm building something.
But I'm sure it'd have some good moments.
I have no interest in seeing any more of it.
Yeah. All right. Well, agree to disagree. I think that's where we're gonna have to.
I think so.
Do you guys remember Gogs?
Yeah, I remember Gogs.
That kid show.
Another annoying baby.
Claymation. Of
I actually remember the song was the baby screaming. It was very irritating.
That's
great.
Very,
that's something
very generous to the intro.
Yeah,
it's a lot. It's really a lot more blood curdling.
Bit of soft rock.
Yeah,
feel of that.
I did. Yeah, you know we love our soft rock.
Just Creed like, does Gog's intro.
Who's like? What's that guy saying? The Creed losing.
Creed. Apollo Creed.
Scott Summers.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he composed the theme song to Dinosaurs.
It's my favorite X-Men.
You were close. Scott, you said
Scott,
a name.
Scott
a
male something. Name. Yeah. Oh, Scott dear. Speedman. I don't know.
Wasn't he one of the Lycans out of
His name's Scott something. I just remember because his name's Scott, and obviously my name's Scott, if you haven't figured that out.
Yeah,
they were
in the Scott Club together.
Yeah.
Thursday night meetings.
We all have meetings. It's exclusively Thursday nights. I don't know why.
So you, Scott Pendlebury, and
Scott Baio.
Scott Baio.
He's a raging homophobe, in case you haven't heard. Exactly.
Scott
Bakula?
Bakula's there.
We're talking about having a joint wedding in Sweden. It was very awkward.
You and Bakula?
Me and Bakula and Baio.
And Baio.
Triple header.
Triple header.
what a title, man.
What a thing.
I'd watch that.
There's some good Scots around, I just want to say.
There are some good
It's mainly Scott Bakula.
Is Scott Bakula the president?
Scott Bakula is the president and has been for the last 40 years.
You've got better members, better representation in the Scott Club than the Jeremy Club's. Pretty thin.
Jeremy Club's pretty weak.
You got Irons?
Yeah, Irons, McGovern.
Jeremy, who's the porn star? Ron Jeremy. Oh, yeah.
Is he in the wrong club?
He's in the wrong club.
He's in the wrong club.
But Jeremy Piven?
He tries to get in, but...
This is a real Piven? Controversial one. Who's taken American fashion designer Jeremy Scott?
Ooh. I'm going to have to fight over that one, Scott.
Look, if he's got enough time, he could probably come to both meetings.
Did you just say if he's got enough time?
Yeah, he's just... Subliminally planning messages.
This is part of the.
Your name will be Scott by the end of the episode. Don't you worry about
time,
that.
Why don't you enjoy it?
Scott Wiseman. It's got a ring to it. Just saying. We're very inclusive.
The whole motivation of the organization or the Scots is to just try and filter Scott into everyday language as much as possible.
Naturally.
Yeah.
Eventually take over the world.
You'll be naming your children Scott before you know it.
It's a pretty good Morgan Club, though, chaired by Morgan Freeman.
Morgan Freeman.
Well, that's true, yeah.
That's really all you need.
Just the two of us, yeah. Mm. And Morgan Fairchild, she jumps in every now and again, so. But yeah, it's really just me and Big Freezer shooting the shit. It's good.
the deep freeze.
Aaron, do you take all spellings of Aaron in the Aaron Club?
Yeah, if it's just my spelling, wrong spelling. I don't think it's just me on the Isle of Aaron in Scotland by myself.
Yeah, because yeah, I mean you've got Aaron Paul. Johnson,
Aaron Sorkin.
You got Sorkin.
You can have him.
Aaron Spelling,
Aaron Gordon.
Ah,
he can ball.
That's a good starting four.
Aaron Carter.
Yeah, we just ooh, it's just a domestic basketball team for Aaron's. We don't have a big international organization.
You, Aaron Paul, Aaron Taylor Johnson, and Aaron Gordon.
Yeah.
What's the name of the team?
Aaron.
Would you take Taron?
No, Taron God Edgerton? No.
Absolutely not.
Yeah. Where does he fit in? Does he have to go to the Taron Club?
There is no Taron Club. No. Let's be real.
I feel like we've got a little sidetrack.
This often happens in sitcoms.
Do we want to pivot back to reboot?
Yeah, we probably should.
Scott, do you want to take us through?
Yeah, absolutely. So I did like the dark ending to the series. And so I thought I'd just kind of recreate that in just like a bit of a different not a different format, but just like an alternate ending episode. So we were shown early on that there is an overlap between dinosaurs and humans. And so I kind of wanted to see that explored a little bit more. So in this episode, we've learned that the humans have become a little bit more civilized and they're starting to see the dinosaurs as a threat. So they declare war on them. And so naturally, heading up the dinosaur army, we've got...
Earl Sinclair.
Lieutenant Colonel Richfield, who's B.C. Richfield, who's the Triceratops, yes, who somehow manages to fall into power in any and every scenario. And so he knows that Earl is a dedicated employee, so he conscripts his son, Robbie. And Robbie doesn't really want to go, but Earl convinces him that it's the best thing to do because Earl's a pushover, as we know.
Yep.
Fran and Charlene don't want Robbie to go to war because they'll, you know, most likely know that he won't come back.
Mm.
So then, anyway, throughout the episode, Earl learns a lesson from a giant ant who keeps biting him that he, like, lost his 12 sons in an ant colony war. And sort of, you know, has to sort of, you know, learn that. Then the episode ends with Earl taking Robbie's place and then going to fight for him and, you know, basically just like marching off to war, saying goodbye to the family. Mm. And
so is that like, that's the, you don't actually see the war, it's just like a...
No, it's just like an impending sort of thing.
That is dark.
Sort of like see that, you know, the, like the news report guy. He's kind of like giving you updates as the episode goes on. Mm. Yeah, hand up me. We just...
that was his name?
Have that, yeah.
Yeah.
Harold?
Harold, hand up me. Yeah.
I get it. good one.
Good.
Yeah. So anyway, it's called Dino Wars, and which I think is probably another show.
It's probably already.
There is a Dino Wars.
Yeah,
it's I think it's robot wars, but they're
it's giant. Almost definitely a range of children's toys.
Yeah.
but yeah, a lot darker than that. So yeah, we just got Earl sort of just making the sacrifice and doing the right thing by his family, not necessarily for his country or civilized for his species, I guess.
Pangea is their country.
He's just doing it for his family.
Pretty loose conscription rules if they allow like a overweight 42-year-old man to take the place of his fit and able son. I don't really think he's going to provide much.
Well, Lieutenant Colonel Richfield doesn't really mind you know.
It's just cannon fodder, really.
Earl is. I guess he can absorb a lot of bullets.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, it's definitely got the mass for it. So,
who's leading the human resistance? Morgan? He hates the show so much.
Most likely,
he wants to
I
wipe
think.
Him out.
Yeah. Me and Woody Harrelson.
That's it. Big
Fraser.
Yeah. What a trio.
Oh, yeah.
Dino Wars.
I had a little reboot, which it's not a great one. But
a tiny reboot.
I really kind of struggle with this show, but
I can't imagine why.
Yeah, it's funny that. I just thought basically what they did was they got Roseanne and put dinosaurs. They got a Roseanne script and went, cool, dinosaurs, we'll chuck that in there. Mm-hmm. So I'd like to just do that with another shit with the current like television 20-minute sitcom.
Mm-hmm.
I would just like to do It's Always Sunny in BC and just replace all of them with dinosaurs and just let the hilarity ensue.
Okay.
So kids show?
No.
Who knows?
Obviously, D can be one of those weird feathery dinosaurs.
Yeah, some bird.
Frank's some gross slimy thing.
No, he's like and then I reckon...
Charlie could be like a weird rodent kind of thing.
Yeah, and Dennis is definitely a raptor.
Yeah.
And...
I'm admiring his physique.
Exactly. Yeah.
Or with popping that top off.
I should pop my shirt off.
Can he get his t-shirt off with the tiny arms?
That's a problem. Yeah. How can he sculpt those guns?
Yeah.
Just picture It's Always Sunny when like Mac walking into the bar is like a Triceratops.
But wear thin very quickly.
You're right. Exactly. It's just very gimmicky. But that's I mean, I guess, and that was my overall issue with the show.
Do you reckon they ever got some like a Jurassic Park kind of crossover in there? Because Jurassic Park came out in 93.
Did it?
I think so.
I'm trying to think of how you would cross over. Like making references to it? Or
like they went and visited somewhere that was like a human park or something. Right.
And they've got some sort of Jeff Goldblum-esque dinosaur to come in and explain evolution.
Yeah, like Wayne Knight scurrying about and some Laura Dern's flying overhead.
That is horrifying.
Yeah, then just like some giant, just like 20-meter tall Jeff Goldblum just like stomps around.
Richard Attenborough,
esque
character.
So mine's a bit of a continuation from the end of the last episode. So obviously, after the temperatures continue to drop, an ice age sets in.
Mm.
So fast forward, maybe 10,000 years or so, the Earth's fully frozen, but the humans weren't completely wiped out. They've started to flourish. However, the humans get attacked by some saber-toothed tigers and they leave one of their children behind. And our protagonists, one of the saber-toothed tigers, a sloth and a woolly mammoth happen upon the child.
Oh, no way.
And then they set out on a quest to reunite the child with the human family. Despite the fact that they should be migrating to warmer areas because...
That's pretty risky.
How noble.
Yeah, so it's going to be animated. That's my ideas for the voices. I think maybe Ray Romano will voice the mammoth.
That's a good idea. That's an odd choice.
Yeah. I would have thought.
And, you know, Dennis Leary, don't really see him much anymore. So popped him in there. It's called Ice Age.
Mm.
Who are you going to get for the sloth?
I haven't thought about it.
That's actually just Jeremy's voice.
Yes, mine is as annoying as Sid's from Ice Age. So I might do that myself.
Well, more than anything else we've discussed this episode, that's got some legs.
Yeah. I feel like I could have a few and some spin-offs based around a rodent that continually pops up in the episode.
Yeah,
a fan favorite, one might say.
I think so, yeah. Yeah, maybe like some short animated shorts just based on him.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to have this sort of like, he's going to be obsessed with this one acorn. And that's his stash for the winter.
You got a real knack for this.
I think so.
Sounds like a great idea.
Yeah, so Ice Age.
All right, well, let's move to IMDb list of the week.
Mm-hmm. I feel like this could have had a good one.
Yeah, good feeling about
you
this.
You be the judge.
Could have, but doesn't.
Mm. I don't know.
Yeah, I blew it. My bad.
Last one was rock solid.
So. It was. So this one is from IMDb user Ogle Man. No, that's not right. Olagigi Man.
Olagigi?
I think so. Okay. 187. The list is men with six letters in their first name and surname.
Ooh. Interesting club.
Created 6 years ago. Last updated 5 days ago. So I'll rattle off some names. Edward Norton, Steven Seagal, Patton Oswalt, Wesley Snipes, Justin Bieber, Thomas Gibson. I find this list very satisfying.
Me too.
Yeah. Just kind of
something about
down,
the
you're
six
like, oh,
and six.
Does he? Yeah, he does.
They really sort of roll off the tongue. It's nice, concise.
It's almost like poetic, like a haiku.
I wonder if you did some digging on this. Is there a formula where six and sixes just do better in life?
And more successful.
I mean, there's how many
more
on the
palatable
list?
Names.
Well, Wesley Snipes, as we know.
Yeah.
Yeah, 370 of them.
370?
Yeah.
And... adding to it every day.
Wait, is this just actors? Or is there actresses in there as well?
This is just men. But the same rules apply as his list on women.
Except
in this list, he does include deceased people and people he doesn't like.
In the one with men.
He swallows his pride.
Who doesn't he like? What's the connection from dinosaurs?
Stuart Pankin, who voiced Earl Sinclair.
Okay.
On your stew.
I did notice an interesting one at 105, Andrew Miller, who actually played Dr. Cox's baby in Scrubs, and he was in Super 8, he's just a child actor. Okay. He did note that he'll be a man in 2020. So technically, he doesn't fit on this list because it's men with six letters, but...
Counting down the days. Only 2 years left.
He's getting there. Exciting.
I don't quite.
I can't believe we're going to live through that.
I don't quite understand why then you put him on. There's no obligation to put him on.
Yeah. I don't know.
Or maybe he'd have to like... He was worried that he'd have to set a reminder on his phone on his 18th birthday.
What if I don't have the same phone?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Sync it to the cloud. Oh, so many issues.
There are a couple of controversial ones. How do you feel about Joseph Gordon-Levitt?
Is that 666?
666.
He's obviously the leader of the group.
That's a good one.
And he's also the devil.
How satisfied would he have been when he found... Nail card.
Similar to the satisfaction Joseph Gordon-Levitt feels every day.
Every
he
day.
Wakes up and sees his name.
He wakes up, he just says it.
Yeah.
Brings him power.
I am Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Are you filling out forms? You just be like, every time. What a name.
How do we feel about Drake?
What's Drake's actual name?
I think it's Drake Drakenson.
Oh, Drake. He was in Degrassi and stuff. That was
he really?
Started. Yeah.
Aubrey Graham.
He was Jimmy in Degrassi.
Aubrey Graham.
He got shot and then he was in a wheelchair for
Aubrey Graham.
Five seasons.
How do you spell his first name?
A-U-B-R-E-Y.
Aubrey Graham.
Yeah.
But isn't Aubrey a girl's name?
Yes. Isn't Morgan a girl's name?
It's unisex.
Yeah. Agree to disagree.
You speak to the big freezer.
Morgan's real name is Drake.
Exactly.
I knew it.
We got Drake and Dre on the podcast now. I want there to be a list of people who have one syllable in each of their names.
Oh yeah, like just bang bang.
Yeah,
yeah.
James Woods.
James Woods.
James Woods.
Ooh, Bob Ross.
No, damn it. All I can think of is the ones that don't have
David
it.
Cross.
That's David Cross. Two syllables. Dave Cross.
Dave Cross.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Ah, god damn it.
I can't think of any. I'm no good at this. Yeah. I'm really no good at this.
But I reckon that list exists. If it doesn't,
Jet Li.
I'll make it.
That was a real phone in.
Why? Don't disrespect the great man like that.
Bruce Lee.
Brett Lee. Bruce is one.
Shane Lee.
That is an interesting one. Whoever's created that list has a weird obsession.
Yeah.
Have they made like a 5 and 5 list or a 4 and 4?
I'm not sure. I don't have access to that.
7 and 7.
My clearance isn't high enough.
Oh, okay. You can only
See lists of including people from the show that we've watched.
Right. I see.
That's an interesting deal you've struck up with IMDb.
Yeah.
Anti-deal.
Dick's a harsh taskmaster. He's not going to give you the keys to his database.
His kingdom.
No.
No. Doesn't want us to
uncover. For those who missed the last episode, running theory is Dick Van Dyke.
Runs IMDb.
Yeah. There is that list of... of 4-3-4 names.
Ooh.
Oh, really?
Dick Van Dyke.
And it's sticky to the front page.
Yeah.
Another interesting list. I like it. You're right. There is a certain satisfaction to it, and that particularly the Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Yeah.
I'm going to be thinking about that. I'm going to be thinking about that for a little while now. Mm. I always wondered why he was so successful.
Yeah, that's why.
And good looking.
Again, that's
all
why.
The secrets there.
Yeah.
Except for in Looper. Remember that when they?
Oh yeah, we had Bruce Willis's nose.
That was weird.
I haven't seen that movie.
It's good.
I'd give it a go.
It's worthwhile.
Yeah. It was a good movie.
Yeah.
In my head, it's very... linked with that movie Jumper.
No,
that's a bad movie.
It is very off-putting seeing Joseph Gordon-Levitt like kind of semi Bruce Willis.
Yeah, that sounds weird.
Yeah, he's
really odd.
He's been Bruce Willis. Yeah.
I have the same association with Pacific Rim and Battleship.
Different movies. I can
both
see
are bad.
That. Yeah. Oh, Pacific Rim is.
Yeah, I like
Pacific Rim.
It's doable.
Garbage.
Yeah.
Pacific Rim 2 is garbage.
One of the worst movies
I've ever
seen.
Established one thing, too. Scott and Morgan have different tastes.
We've got some stuff to sort out.
Yeah, we're going to have a long chat after
this. Pacific Rim is directed by an Oscar-winning director.
Doesn't make it a good movie, though.
Yeah, it does.
Jim Henson would have won some Oscars.
Would he?
Okay. Yeah,
I
rate Henson. I rate Henson's work. I'm a big
Fan. Well, yeah, get on board.
You'd
with
have to be a monster.
I will not get on board with dinosaurs.
What about Jessica Walters, which I don't think we mentioned? She voiced.
Yeah, it's
Fran,
very odd
mom.
That she does that. The voice of that, but yeah. I don't know.
She killed it. I thought she did really well.
Look,
I'd love hearing her voice.
Yeah, me too.
Here we are. Really.
She was far less aggressive in this than anything else.
Yeah, pay her to scream insults at me.
Yeah,
yeah.
Incorporate that into your marionette lovemaking.
Yeah.
I'd forgotten about that.
That's the only
for
way
good
you
reason.
Can get
I'm
off.
Going
dress
to
as Bert Ernie and have Jessica Walters shout things at you.
Yeah, I've got a very weird, sophisticated fetish.
What a niche.
Yeah.
An expensive niche as well.
It is very expensive.
Hey,
she charges results a lot by the hour, and it has to be live. It can't be pre-recorded.
You've tried the pre-recording. Doesn't work.
Yeah, it doesn't work. It doesn't.
This is it.
Doesn't get you a
special
you need
formula.
To go.
It doesn't get you where.
If only you had a simple thing like scaling. But you know.
Oh boy.
I'm a simple man. I like simple things, like dressing up in a dinosaur.
Your taste isn't
off.
As sophisticated as mine.
I'm very aware.
Palette is as diverse.
Exactly. So, what are our final thoughts on dinosaurs? We already know what my thoughts are, so I don't need to share them again.
I feel like I'm actually going to go through and watch a little bit of this show.
Ooh.
Legitimately.
You're going to waste your time, are you?
Absolutely.
I'm sorry. I got to back off. I'm not going to make you more negative.
Can you just holster it for a second, mate?
I didn't.
Yeah.
I hated the first episode because it was just so jarring and awkward. Mm. But I feel like they might have worked through the kinks a little bit.
Yeah.
And maybe some like mid-season stuff. Because that Barney episode sounds pretty funny.
That sounds like.
I think the my main issue was the baby. The baby is just so grating and...
Mm. Yeah.
Makes me just want to turn off.
And they could have just made it not like that.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's just so
they have
the
power. Yeah. It is their show.
But
I wonder why they made it as bad as they did.
Yeah.
Jim wrote it into his will. His last request was, I want you to make it a TV show about a really annoying baby. I don't care what else is in the show, what else it's about.
You will do this for me.
But I like the way they finished it. I thought that was a very apt ending for this show.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think it's one of the
good message.
Yeah,
it's one of the messages. Touches.
Real classy. Kill them all. That's
if the baby dies, I'm happy.
Yeah. Well, you, I can.
It's
tell
gonna
you.
Be. It's bound to be some collateral. Kids. Bound to be some collateral.
Tear
damage.
This planet apart.
Yeah. I think it's probably like the darkest ending we've seen since Quantum Leap.
I don't think Quantum Leap was dark though. Was
well, it? All he did was fix Al's life, and then he just kept leaping.
Yeah, it's pretty what, dark. As opposed to the planet ending and all life.
All. Yeah.
I suppose
just when for you what weigh, you have an investment in
when
in
you
the
weigh
show.
Scott Bakula's life against all life on the planet, I know which way I'm going.
Mm.
Bakula,
all the way.
Bakula, I prefer a Bakula end.
Obviously,
it was beautiful. It was beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah,
he sacrificed himself to help his friend, whereas Earl just killed everyone.
Yeah,
with just terrible ideas.
But he felt bad about it.
Anyway, I reckon that probably just about wraps us up on dinosaurs. I'm glad that we watched it. Now it's done. I never have to think about it again.
Why don't you tell the people where they can find us, Morgs?
You can find us on theincompleteseries.com. Drop us a suggestion, if you will. We love a good suggestion.
We did receive some suggestions recently.
Oh.
From superfan Callum. The same Callum as a Fran Drescher fame.
Yeah. Our number one Patreon.
Are you saying we've skyrocketed him to fame?
He is the number one fan.
He owes all of his
success. He skyrocketed us to fame, really.
That's true.
Vice versa. What has he suggested?
He's begging for an Aussie classic.
Which
Blue
one?
Healers.
It's
Water Rats. He didn't even name one.
Oh no, he named like 15.
Okay, all right, we can give him that.
Yeah,
we tried it.
Which I think we need to dabble in.
I agree.
Bring it back home a bit.
Okay, yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, give the people what they want.
Yeah,
McLeod's daughters.
We've been there. We're not going back there.
We're not going back.
But yeah, I reckon that's got to be on the cards.
So yeah, you can throw us a suggestion if you would like to join Callum in the suggestion alumni, I guess. That's a very fancy way to say that. But
1 year reunion coming up soon.
Yeah. Okay.
We sent out a weekly newsletter.
just to Callum.
Just to
It's very targeted. Also, if you can jump on to your whatever podcast listening app you have and just give us a rate and review, it does help us get out there a little bit more.
Or rate episodes. What's that episode, Podchaser?
Podchaser, yeah.
Rate each episode, you know? Give us a 2 for this one, because Morgan dialed it in.
I did.
Dialed it in harder than Van Dyke did in the Diagnosis Murder finale. That's saying something.
You know, sometimes you got to keep it neutral. Sometimes you got to take a day off every now and again.
You don't have the credibility that Van Dyke does.
Yeah, he had a lot of runs on the board by that point.
You're saying I don't have
Where
the
do you get off?
You're saying I don't have the runs on the board like Van Dyke?
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Well, I'll admit that Van Dyke has a more accomplished body of work than I do, but...
it's early days.
What a body.
You don't have the hair to pull off that kind of attitude.
They don't call him the body
Morgan
for no reason.
No, it's true. Dick the body Van Dyke.
L McPherson.
No, I'm pretty sure it was Dick Van Dyke.
Yeah.
They called the body.
L McPherson was in... Mary Poppins.
All right. Of course, that was... Dick had a really...
I get it too confused.
Dick was a really successful supermodel from the 90s.
Yeah.
I think we should probably just leave that there. So thank you, Jez.
Thank you, Morgan.
Thank you, Aaron.
Thank you.
And thank you, Scott.
Thank you.